We also have gluten-free bread for those who may need that as well. So you're all invited when we actually do this a little bit later in the service. So let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would consecrate these elements of the bread and cup that we set before you this day, that they might be for us Christ crucified, his body broken, his blood shed, for the remission of our sins. I pray also that you would set this time and place apart this morning especially, that you might speak to every one of us concerning our lives, and that you might also speak to us concerning our life together as your people who gather here as Lampstand Church. And I ask that this would be a holy time, in Jesus' name, amen. If you'll join with me in the litany for the bread and the cup. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took the bread, and after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this, remembering me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this, remembering me. And every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you witness to the death of the Lord until he comes." Let's pray for the message. Lord, I ask that you would speak to all of us today concerning our lives. I pray especially that you speak to all of us as well concerning our life as a church. And I pray that you would endow this message by your Spirit to be a word for each of us. And I pray also you remove just a tad of the insulation. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to talk to you. I've noticed in the last few months especially that there have been a lot of people with troubles in their lives. And it can come in a lot of different ways. It can come because of marital issues. It comes because of finances, health issues, all kinds of things. In terms of the context of this church family, but also people that I am in ministry with around the edges, you might say, because we have fuzzy boundaries around here anyway. So I see how trouble comes at us from many sides, health, family, job, finances. The world can hammer us, marriage, and it comes against your peace, and it comes against your life. The picture for today comes from the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. It's an episode that describes Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, after the kingdom was divided, winning a victory through the strategy of a choir marching out in front of the army. Worship was what brought victory in the war. Today I want to blend this idea of worship and warfare, and if anything would seem totally different, it would be those two words, actually, worship and warfare, and yet they are closely linked in our spiritual life. Worship is in a sanctuary of a church. Warfare is in a bunker, in a trench, on a front line. One is surrounded by explosions and death, and the other is in the solitude of silence at times. Yet the scripture links them very closely together. And I would like you to see how they are linked, because the victory that is achieved in this story that we're going to look at today is directly related to worship. And if you can see this connection, then you may be able to see how you and I can confront those times when we're actually struggling for our lives, you might say. I'd like for you to read with me verses 1 to 5 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Here we go. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Munites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar. Got it? That is En Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, he will say a prayer. We're going to look at that in a minute. I want you to notice a couple things in these two in this group of verses. In verse 2 and verse 3. In verse 2 it says, some men came and told Jehoshaphat that a great multitude is coming against you. And then it says in verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord. Two things I want you to notice here. The first is the report that came to him. That report meant, you might not be around here tomorrow. You have no future, Jehoshaphat. Now, I don't know if you can put yourself in the place of Jehoshaphat, but hey, buddy, it's all going to be over tomorrow. The enemy that is marching on you will take your nation's life and yours as well. And there are people today, right now, who have had that kind of announcement. Maybe someone present today will hear it this week about your body. A diagnosis that says you will die and you have just so long to live. The enemy is marching on you. And they will be here in 3 months, 6 months. Your future can be made or ended on the basis of economic conditions. You're going to be out of money. You don't have enough, you don't have anywhere to go. If things don't straighten out in this marriage in the next 3 months, I'm through. And so the enemy marches on your health, your family, your finances, your business, your job, your marriage. The enemy comes marching on people in their life circumstances. And the report is that it will all be over in a certain time. And I'd like for you to see Jehoshaphat in the same situation that so many of us have been in or are in or will be in, because what happens in this situation can model for us points of understanding of how to sing when you are struggling in your life. Now, the Bible says that when the word came to Jehoshaphat, he was sore afraid. And I tell you what, old Jay is my kind of guy. I mean, I get a little bit tired of hearing from certain parts of the body of Christ that we should always just praise the Lord when we get some bad report. My husband just had a wreck in the car. Praise the Lord. Well, I guess that depends on who your husband is. But have you ever picked up on that kind of thinking from some Christians? Jehoshaphat was afraid. I say, good for him. He should be. And in looking at this story, there's hope for me too, because old Jehoshaphat wins when this is all over, but his first response is, oh my God, I'm in it deep now. And I would like to point out that fear in the face of sudden crisis does not disqualify you as either a person of faith or a person of potential victory. And let me say it again. Fear in the face of sudden crisis does not disqualify you for either faith or ultimate victory. What makes the difference is what a person does when that fear comes. And when Jehoshaphat could have said and done this, here they come, Moabites, man, get together an embassy. We need some of our best diplomats. We could head these guys off. I know we can. We'll go down and talk to them, get a bunch of cash together too. I mean, if we load these guys up with shekels, well, maybe we can buy some time and work things out with them in this thing. By the way, get the troops together. Your generals, at least it will look good. It will give the people a better national image if we can go into this thing let's get a military parade going. Let's have a little enthusiasm around here. Let's give them a show of strength. While you get guys, get the horses ready as well. Some of you other guys get down to the gates with some sandbags and shore up that place because these guys are shooting fire arrows at us, and maybe we can shore up the gates with sand. And it says that Jehoshaphat was sore afraid. That's what he could have done, because people that live in the fear that first strikes them do those kinds of things. I mean, we generate activity. Let's get together all the resources you've got, and we'll beat it physically. And Jehoshaphat, when fear hit him, his first line of defense was he sought the Lord. He sought the Lord in a prayer and a fast. Now, fasting is not a means by which we bargain with God to earn his favor. I mean, you know, if I fast, God will know I'm sincere. I mean, we think like this. We don't say it, but we think, well, I don't have a lot of faith, but if I can quit eating, and maybe the Lord will know I'm sincere. Fasting brings you to a point of realizing that the issue is spiritual in nature as well as a physical manifestation. Because the Bible says that fasting is an instrument by which demonic powers are broken. Jehoshaphat, in declaring a fast, recognizes that the spiritual forces generating this attack against him need to be addressed through spiritual warfare. Now, we average Christians don't address problems like this a lot of the time. We try to figure out ways to deal with the physical expression of the problem rather than cutting right to the heart of the matter and getting into spiritual action. And fasting is an action of spiritual warfare. It's not the only one, but it's an important one. There is a time to fast. Jehoshaphat recognizes the time, and he calls the people to a fast. Their priority was to counterattack on the spiritual level first. That which appeared to be purely visible, physical attack. Their lives were threatened in the visible realm, and they resorted to drawing on their resources in the invisible realm. The story ends up with a choir marching and singing in front of the army, and in face of that, the enemy is going to be turned to total confusion. Now, we're going to read this here in a minute, but I want to make a couple things clear. These people weren't stupid, and they weren't foolish, but they were people who understood that the resources that they had on the spiritual realm. After the fast was declared, Jehoshaphat says a prayer which he makes a point of how Almighty God really is. And this warfare begins with worship. The battle he faces with worship. This man is on his knees saying, Lord, you are God above all things. And I want you to get a picture of that in your mind. Read with me verses 6 through 12. Here we go. Let me start. He was in the house of the Lord before the new court. That's where Jehoshaphat was. Let's read now. And said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? Dost thou not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? In thy hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Didst thou not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel? And give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, thy friend. And they have dwelled in it, and have built thee in it a sanctuary for thy name, saying, If evil comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before thee. For thy name is in this house, and cry to thee in our affliction, and thou wilt hear and save. Now behold the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy. Behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not execute judgment upon them? For we are powerless against this great multitude that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. This is not just a theological statement or prayer. Jehoshaphat is coming into the presence of Almighty God. You might say he's in God's court. And his mind is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the people are being stirred by the recognition that the issue that is being brought in prayer is being presented to the God of all heavens. This is not just a church prayer here. Jehoshaphat is saying, he is my God, our God, and as I appeal to him, there is not one issue of the universe that is not within his grasp. It's a matter of saying, Lord God, all things are in your hands, and there is nothing going to come upon me that you are not able to handle. And that awareness begins to take hold of their hearts. And they don't have a choir marching out in front for small reasons the next day, which we're going to get to. They go out with a confidence that the God that they have spoken to and who has spoken to them is actually almighty in the face of their circumstances. Now, if you look at the prayer, you will notice that the faith of that prayer is built on history. They appeal to points of history. People wonder, how do you get faith? Well, let me tell you how you get faith. You get faith from the word of out of the Word of God, like we're doing right here, and your own history of how God has worked in your life. You combine the two. In the Bible is recorded redemptive history, and you can see the way that God acts and the way that he deals with people and their situations. And the longer you personally walk with the Lord, the more you see how he acts and deals in terms of your own personal history. If you think back on it and the history of those around you. And then based upon what you have read and seen and experienced along with personal conviction, you make your mind up about two things. First, whether it's true or not, you have to make up your mind. Second, whether God will do it for you. That's the second thing. Now, that are the two things that you decide. Now, it is true then, what he said about those things is also true. And he says, I will do that for you. And then you decide, well, if he would do it for me, will he do it now for me? I know that he is changeless and ever-present about that which concerns me. This is faith. And then something begins to happen in your heart and hope begins to rise, not because you've been whipped into a frenzy, but because you come to some kind of solid, stable view of the history of God's dealings with his people and what he does in your own life. His nature is unchanging. He is trustworthy and dependable. He will never leave you or forsake you. And there has not failed one word of all of his good promises. And suddenly your heart says, praise God. Thanks. Things are really bad, but I'm not alone here. And that one who is with me is bigger than everything I've got against me. Let me read to you verse 14 in this, and then we'll be looking at the rest of it here in a minute. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benai, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. Now, I want to say the Spirit of God comes upon this guy. By the way, Jahaziel's name means God reveals. He was the son of a prophet. Now, there's a description given here in this verse, and we don't think about a lot of this stuff because we don't. It's just there. But he gives a pedigree out to show that he is a recognized prophet. He was not just somebody in the congregation coming off the wall in a moment of enthusiasm, like one of you are standing up and saying, hey, I got something for you to know. It was a man who was a recognized prophet by the people as one who was given prophetic revelation from time to time. And he stands up and he lets them know some things. So read with me verses 15 to 17. And he said, hearken all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, fear not and be not dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jurel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Take your position, stand still, and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not and be not dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Now, there are a collection of sayings here that we are used to hearing, and we kind of run over them. It says, fear not, be not dismayed. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Quotes that we often hear in this scripture, through this prophet, the Lord says twice, tomorrow. Twice it says, don't be afraid. Twice it says, don't be dismayed. The word for dismayed literally means to be cut down, chopped down like a tree, or put down. Don't be cut down. And here the people are praying. They are seeking God, and Jehoshaphat is leading them in this worship time. And in the midst of the worship service, they get this prophetic utterance that takes place from this prophet. The battle is not yours, but God's. Go out before the enemy and watch what God will work. He will do the victory for you. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The next verse, then let's read verse 18 and 19. Here we go. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. These are the singers, by the way, and the priests. Those Korathites or whatever they are. They're all praising God, and people are bowed down. And I tell you what, this turned into a shouting meeting, and we don't normally do that, but then again, we don't normally face death. The word had gone forth, and the Bible says in verse 20, which I want you to read this one with me, verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. They rose early in the morning. Tell me, haven't you had that kind of experience? It could be that you're stewing over things and you didn't really go to sleep anyway, but you rose early in the morning. Or it could be you have a really powerful experience like worship and you come to a place where faith is rising and you know the worship service is there and what you did in victory, praise the Lord, and then you wake up Monday morning. God, they're still out there. What was I going to do today? Oh, yeah, I've got this problem I'm facing in my life. Can you imagine these people getting up the next morning? The Bible says they rose early in the morning. They look and say, oh, God, the Moabites are still out there. Anyway, read with me verse 21. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy array. And as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. We might as well read verse 22 too. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. Now, when he takes counsel with the people here, he appoints those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy array. And as they went before the army, actually, that's what they were doing. He consulted with the people, and then he appointed singers for the Lord. He consulted with them. He could have said, hey, I got a great idea. What we're going to do, you're going to love this one. It's such a demonstration of faith. We're going to verify our faith in God. I want the choir marching out in front of the army. And I can just hear the choir now say, oh, yeah, easy for you to say. Listen, sweetheart, you get out in front of the army. The Bible says Jehoshaphat consulted with them, the people. He was the king. He had the right to issue directives. But I can imagine the conversation going on. Jehoshaphat said, let's review what the Lord spoke to us yesterday through that prophet. How are we going to respond to that? And so they begin to talk among themselves. And frankly, it was probably one of the worship team who made the suggestion. Oh, King, I got an idea. It seems to me that if the Lord says we won't need to fight, then the army really isn't the issue. And the Lord has told me, well, he will be with us, and it all happened while we were worshiping him in the other day. And what do you think, choir? Let's do this thing. Let's go march out there. I've dealt with worship teams and choirs for a lot of years. They all are a little bit crazy anyway, at least the ones I've been around. And you can hear this guy. He said, let's just go praise the Lord because the Lord has said we wouldn't need to fight. The army can come with us, but not as a point of defense. They can be the cheerleaders because the Lord is going to do the battle. It says in this scripture, it took them 3 days to pick up all the spoils. And we're going to read that part, but they started off that way with the choir out in front of them. They were singing and praising God, and the different army. And the Bible says confusion came over all of the host against them. These different armies began to turn against each other. And by the time Judah got there, the dead bodies were cluttering up things all over the field, and they were totally destroyed by their own devices. If there ever was a picture of what goes on in the spiritual realm and how it affects the physical realm, this is it. And as I said, there's two things. You could choose whether you believe this stuff or not. And you can look at your own history and say, do I believe what God has done in my life before or not? Now, all these stories are written down in the Old Testament so that we can gain some wisdom. So listen to me. When it looks like your life is at stake, that your future might be washed out, things are mounted against you, and everything looks so well structured and so well organized against you, you might feel dismayed, lost, and filled with fear. And you wonder, how can I ever survive this, let alone win this situation? And these are people with an unjust lawsuit facing them. Some outcome of their past coming back to haunt them, which says, it is perfectly justified and I deserve what's coming to me. When circumstances and situations are eroding your emotional and mental health and sanity, when disease is working on your body, when circumstances are eating you up financially or events seem to be ruining your family or spoiling your relationship with husband, wife, or child, listen to me. A person who understands the relationship between the spiritual realm and the physical realm recognizes that there are times when the words of Jesus come very strongly into play, where he says, the kingdom of God allows for violence, and violence breaks into this world. Violent activity literally breaks into this world on your behalf and on the behalf of others to advance the kingdom. And the word of the Lord came to Jehoshua, be not afraid, be not dismayed. The battle is not yours, but God. So tomorrow, stand still and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf. And I want you to see that Jehoshaphat sought the Lord in worship and prayer and fasting. And in seeking God, he appealed to history as they prayed together, saying, Lord, we look to you for grace and justice as you have done before. And then in the context of that worship, they had a contemporary revelation. The word of that prophet stood up and spoke to these people. Now today, by coming to worship and prayer, we have seen how God has worked in history in our church. We have seen how God has worked in history through the Bible and maybe in your own lives. So there's a couple things I want you to know here. This is where broccoli comes to play. Don't ask. Your officers met for the last 2 days in this church to look at our future, to see where we're going in terms of really about the next 5 years, I think, as much as anything. This week, I would like for us as a church to be in fasting and prayer for this. Wednesday night, we're going to have a prayer and worship service here, healing service here, that Michelle is going to lead in terms of this. And let this be a time when we are in prayer for our hair. Now, the other thing that I know is there are individual things that are going on in our lives around us right now. So I want to give a prophetic statement for somebody present here today. It is a historical prophetic statement, but it is for you personally. Be not afraid, be not dismayed, for the battle is not yours but God's. You will not need to fight in this battle. It is not that is raging in your life. Take your position and stand still and see the victory of the Lord on your behalf. Fear not and be not dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against him and the Lord will be with you. Hear the word of the Lord, you who need to hear this. In Jesus' name, amen.